This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about AI and B2B marketing in calendar weeks 13 and 14. Frenis is a B2B market research company that supports enterprise marketing teams in unlocking the full potential of their customer data with the help of AI. You can find more info in the description.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into, the absolute top AI in B2B marketing trends that we've been seeing across LinkedIn over the past couple of weeks. So if you're navigating this space right now, you are definitely in the right place.
Yeah, and just to set the stage for you listening, we're giving ourselves a very specific mandate today. Like, no fluff. We are skipping the whole, you know, philosophical debate thing and the wild 5 years in the future thought experiment.
Right. Nobody needs more of that right now.
Exactly. Our mission today is to take this massive, just overwhelming volume of noise around AI and synthesize it into actual functioning operational models for modern marketing teams. Like, what is actually working right now in 2026?
And maybe more importantly, what's failing spectacularly, right? Which, I mean, that brings us directly to the first major theme we pulled from the content. AI search is basically becoming the new front door for B2B buying.
Oh, yeah. The whole death of traditional SEO.
Totally. I mean, Marcus Sheridan shared this stat that should honestly be a massive wake-up call if you're still running, like a 2023 SEO playbook. Over the last year, he's been polling his live audiences, just asking if they prefer AI search engines over legacy Google.
Okay. And what were the numbers?
Well, a year ago, it was hovering around 35%.
Yeah.
But today, across his audiences, 65 to 70% of people prefer AI search.
Wow. 70%.
Yeah. And that adoption curve is only getting steeper.
I mean, when you look at why that shift is happening, it makes complete sense from the perspective of a B2B buyer. Like, if I'm researching enterprise software, I don't want to dig through 10 blue links leading to 10 different vendor landing pages that are just, you know, bloated with SEO keywords.
Right, exactly.
I just want an AI to synthesize the capabilities of all those vendors into one direct answer. But that user preference, it creates this structural earthquake for us as marketers. Jillian Hart recently mapped this out as a transition from B2B, so business to business, to what she's calling B to A to B.
Business to AI to business.
Exactly.
The implications of that B to A to B model are just profound. Because, I mean, we've spent decades optimizing the top of the funnel to capture human attention.
Yeah.
Right. But Hart argues that the funnel has now compressed entirely. AI isn't just a research assistant anymore. It's literally the new gatekeeper on the buying committee.
Yeah, the first entity that consumes your white paper isn't a human.
Nope. It's an algorithm.
Yeah.
And that algorithm parses the information. It filters out all your marketing fluff, and then it decides whether your solution even makes it onto the shortlist that gets presented to the human decision maker.
So, wait. We're basically tasked with optimizing our content so that machines can interpret it, just so they can then explain it to humans. I was thinking about this earlier. It's kind of like cooking a highly complex meal specifically so a food critic can digest it, and then the critic just tells the diner how it tasted. Like, you aren't feeding the diner anymore, you're feeding the critic.
I mean, I see where you're going with the food critic analogy, but if we look at the actual mechanics of these models, it's really more like preparing a dish for a chemical analyzer.
Okay, a chemical analyzer, that's a lot less romantic.
Very much so, because the AI isn't, you know, tasting your content or appreciating your clever copywriting. It's parsing your schema markup and your entity relationships to see if your data satisfies the technical parameters of what the user is searching for. Simon Yosef and Scott Jones pointed this out explicitly.
Right. They were talking about structuring content.
Exactly. To rank in this new B2ATB world, you have to structure your content for machines. You need clear semantic architecture, robust schema, and just direct, unembellished answers.
Okay, here's my pushback on that. That creates a huge paradox. If we strip all the pros away and just feed the chemical analyzer raw structured data, how do we establish any actual brand authority? Like, why would an LLM choose our structured data over a competitor's structured data?
And that right there is where the human element becomes the ultimate tiebreaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Justine Brownbridge shared some super compelling research on this. She showed that LinkedIn is actually currently the number one cited domain for professional queries across all the major AI platforms.
Wait, LinkedIn is number one, not Wikipedia or company sites.
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Because AI models are inherently prone to hallucination, right? Mm-hmm. So their developers tune them to actively seek out verified, first-person human experiences to ground their answer.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah. So the winning formula isn't just technical schema. It's embedding deep, undeniable human expertise like real stories, real data, inside that machine-readable structure.
Which sounds great, but trying to navigate that balance right now is causing so much friction in the industry. Tom Doherty made a really funny, well, funny but painful observation about where we are in the maturity cycle right now.
Oh, but the acronyms.
Yes. He noted that we currently have 24 competing acronyms just for optimizing for these engines. Like, agencies are pitching AEO, GEO, LMO, GIO. It's ridiculous. He argued that the industry desperately needs, like, an IE-style standards body to step in and define a shared vocabulary.
Because right now, marketing directors are budgeting for one acronym, while their vendors are selling them another one entirely.
Exactly. It's a mess.
But, I mean, chaos around terminology usually just means a market is in transition. And if we accept that AI search is fundamentally changing how buyers find your brand, we have to look at the inverse, too. AI is also breaking how your brand finds buyers.
Right, the outbound side.
Exactly. Which transitions us to the second major theme we saw, the evolution of outbound AI sales development reps, or AI SDRs.
I really want to dig into AI SDRs heavily because this is the area where the marketing hype is just clashing so hard with actual revenue reality right now. We are seeing teams fall into what's being called the volume trap.
The volume trap. Let's break that down.
Yeah. So Elisabetta Kozeska and Alex Vaca shared this data set that illustrates it perfectly. They looked at pure AI SDRs, so fully autonomous outbound agents, just set loose on an addressable market.
Just blasting emails.
Right. And in one cohort, these pure AI SDRs successfully booked a really impressive 847 meetings in 90 days.
Which sounds amazing on paper.
It does, until you realize they only converted to pipeline at 11%.
Ouch. Yeah, contrast that with the alternative approach they tracked. The human AI hybrid teams booked significantly fewer meetings. I think it was just 312. But their conversion to pipeline was 38%.
Wow.
Yeah, so the hybrid team actually generated 2.3 times more real revenue while taking 63% fewer meetings.
Wait, let's just play out the math on that pure AI approach for a second. 11% conversion on 847 meetings means that the human account executives were forced to sit through over 700 completely garbage meetings.
Exactly.
Like, the AI didn't create a robust pipeline. It essentially executed a denial of service attack on its own sales team. It burned AE time, and it probably burned bridges with a ton of unqualified prospects.
And that is the hitter cost of the volume trap.
Yeah.
You know? The AI can execute the task, it can send the emails, but it completely lacks the capability to evaluate the quality of the outcome.
Right.
Trey Soni actually shared a case study that reveals the mechanics of why the hybrid model wins. His team analyzed an AI SDR system that was, technically speaking, flawless. It found buying signals that generated grammatically perfect opening lines, but it was stuck at a dismal 1.3% reply rate.
1.3? That's terrible.
Right. And the failure point was contextual judgment. The AI doesn't inherently understand that a message being technically correct and a message being contextually appropriate to send today are two totally different things.
Yeah, because the AI doesn't intuitively know if the prospect's company just, you know, laid off 20% of its staff yesterday or if their industry is in the middle of a specific regulatory crisis.
Precisely. It lacks the room reading skill. So Sony's team implemented this really minor architectural change. They added a human, what they call the GPM system operator, to the workflow.
Okay. And what did the operator do?
Their only job was to spend 20 seconds reviewing the context brief that the AI generated before authorizing the send. That's it. And by introducing that single point of human friction, the reply rate rocketed from 1.3% to 11.4%.
Just from a 20-second review?
Just from that. They didn't change the underlying LLM. They just placed human judgment right at the critical vulnerability point.
So let's contextualize that for the B2B marketers listening. What does that 20-second human quality gate actually look like in practice? Basically, the AI finds the lead, it drafts the outreach based on intent data, and then it queues it up in like a dedicated Slack channel.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the human operator clicks the Slack notification, checks if the tone is tone deaf to current events, hits approve, and moves on. The human isn't drafting anything, they're purely acting as an editor.
And that distinction between drafting and editing is really the core of the new operating model. R.V. Karkanji shared this highly ironic anecdote that underscores this perfectly.
Oh, I saw this one.
Yeah, he overheard a conversation where an investor who was actively funding a very famous AI SDR company was quietly trying to hire human SDRs for his own internal revenue team.
That is amazing.
Right. The investor driving the whole AI will replace sales narrative knew that to protect his own pipeline, he needed personnel who could actually read the room, pivot during live calls, and navigate unscripted human objections.
Which brings a lot of clarity to a framing shared by John Harvey. He compared the arrival of AI SDRs to the ATM moment for the banking industry.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
It really is. Like, when ATMs rolled out, the panic was that bank tellers would be entirely obsolete. But ATMs didn't replace tellers. They fundamentally altered the job description. They handled the low-value manual task of, you know, counting $20 bills, which freed the tellers up to focus on relationship banking, loans, and complex problem-solving.
And Gilbert Kralinger noted the exact same dynamic in sales. AI isn't replacing the strategic SDR. It's just replacing the 90% of manual busy work they shouldn't have been doing in the first place anyway, like formatting CSV files, updating CRM fields, writing generic follow-up templates. Those are tasks for machines. Strategy is for humans.
Okay, so if adding a human operator fixes the conversion rates, why are so many teams still failing to get ROI from these tools? Which I think naturally transitions us into our third theme.
The tech stack problem.
Exactly. The realization that you cannot build a smart hybrid SDR if your underlying tech stack is a fragmented mess. We are moving away from isolated tools and into orchestrated systems.
Because the tool fatigue is very real right now. We saw Daria Novak map out an AI marketing stack recently that utilized 20 different disconnected tools.
20.
Yeah. And Louis Cho showcased a 12-tool stack just to run a solo marketing department. I mean, it looks super impressive on a slide, but Sandeep Gulati provided a really necessary reality check on this.
What did he say?
He said a collection of disparate apps is not a system. Apps just sit there waiting for a prompt. A system connects data and actually compounds value. Gulati pointed out that an AI without access to your proprietary data is just guessing based on internet averages.
Right.
So the critical infrastructure shift happening right now is the adoption of MCP, or Model Context Protocol.
We should definitely explain MCP because it is literally the dividing line between amateur AI use and enterprise AI operations in 2026.
Go for it.
So think of a standard large language model as an incredibly intelligent intern. They've read every book in the world, but they know absolutely nothing about your specific company. MCP is the secure, standardized pipeline that feeds that intern your live CRM data, your historical campaign performance, and your customer analytics directly into their context window right before they answer a query.
It's the ultimate context injection.
Exactly. So without MCP, your AI writes generic copy. With MCP, your AI can pull last quarter's customer acquisition costs from your database and suggest budget reallocations based on historical win rates.
And that architectural shift dictates a massive change in marketing leadership. Carolyn Healy argued that the CMOs who actually survive this transition must shift their core identity. They have to move away from being campaign executors and become designers of agentic systems.
Designers of agentic systems.
Yeah. You are no longer managing the creative output. You are managing the data flows, the compliance guardrails, and the escalation paths of the system that generates the output.
But, okay, I look at the reality of most B2B marketing departments, and I have to ask, aren't we just risking the automation of our own bad habits here?
How do you mean?
Like, if a company's data hygiene is terrible and their lead routing workflows are already broken, plugging an autonomous AI agent into that infrastructure is just going to execute that broken process at light speed, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And that is the exact vulnerability Christine Royston and Lauren Layton both independently highlighted. AI does not possess the ability to fix a broken workflow. It merely exposes your operational gaps instantly.
It's a magnifying glass.
Exactly. Richard Jonkoff brought some really sobering data to this discussion, noting that currently only 24% of organizations actually have personalization operating at scale.
Only 24%?
Yeah, most marketing teams cannot even activate the behavioral data they already possess. So if you don't fix the data foundation and the decision logic first, AI will just amplify your fragmentation.
And managing that foundation requires serious, dedicated human bandwidth. Like, if you're a marketing director listening to this and your CEO is pressuring you to just buy an AI agent to save headcount, you need to push back with the data Rutger Katz shared.
The Sestra data.
Yes. He noted that Sestra runs 20 AI agents across their operations. But the hidden reality is that each one of those agents requires 3 to 4 hours a week of senior operator time just to manage.
Let's do the math on that. 20 agents times 3 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That is 60 to 80 hours a week of senior strategic management just to keep the agents aligned with business reality.
It's practically 2 full-time senior roles.
Right. It isn't a task you could just hand off to a junior coordinator.
Yeah.
Katz pointed out that 90% of AI implementations fail because leadership treats them as set-and-forget software. An agent can give you 168 hours of output a week, but it demands rigorous human oversight to ensure that output isn't hallucinated or off-brand.
Which naturally brings us to our final theme. If the system is architected correctly and the data is clean and the human oversight is in place, how do we actually fund and direct it? The conversation has to move to strategy, economics, and the culture required to run it all.
Yeah, and Kunstam made a vital structural observation about the business models underlying this transition. Because look, the software industry has been built on SaaS economics for 2 decades now.
Right.
And SaaS relies on zero marginal cost. Once the code is written, adding one more user to the platform costs practically nothing. That is why per-seat pricing works. But AI economics operate on a completely different physical reality.
Because it requires raw compute power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every single prompt, every generation, and every loop an agent runs burns API tokens, which cost real money.
It's basically the difference between renting server space to store static file and paying for a supercomputer to actively process a complex math equation every single time a user logs in.
That's exactly the dynamic. If you try to run a 2026 AI motion using a 2023 SaaS pricing model, you will mathematically grow yourself into a loss. Heavy users won't just decrease your margins, they will actually bankrupt you.
Wow.
So go-to-market teams are being forced to completely rethink their pricing structures and where their competitive moats actually lie. The moat is no longer software features. It is the proprietary data that your system compounds over time to make the compute more efficient.
And that shift in where value is generated, it applies directly to creative strategy as well. Ryan Law wrote a fairly painful truth for content marketers recently. He basically said AI-generated content is now largely indistinguishable from human writing.
Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people.
It really is. The quality gap that protected human writers a year ago is just gone. Consequently, the value of pure production-like, just generating grammatically correct words on a page has plummeted to zero.
Which is where Kristen Schipfer-Barrett and Sal Kanka expanded the thought. They pointed out that speed without strategy just produces generic noise. Because AI amplifies the underlying foundation, the floor for strategy has been raised significantly. If your target persona is vague and your brand's point of view is dull, the AI will simply allow you to produce that dull generic noise at an unprecedented scale. Strategy is literally the only differentiator left.
And implementing that strategy requires a totally different approach to talent. Nicole Leffer shared this really powerful contrast regarding how leadership should view this transition. She described 2 hypothetical companies.
Company A and Company B.
Yeah. So Company A used their new AI efficiencies to execute a classic cost-cutting maneuver, eliminating $1.5 million in marketing headcount. And of course, the board was thrilled with the immediate savings.
But Company B took the opposite approach, right?
Exactly. Company B retained their entire team and used the exact same AI expenditure to upskill their people. By automating the busy work, they gave their existing humans the bandwidth to focus on deep market strategy and high leverage creativity.
And what was the result?
Company B ended up generating an extra $10 million in compounding annual recurring revenue.
See, that is the point right there. The strategic objective of this era isn't cutting costs to save $1 million. It is compounding capabilities to generate $10 million.
But to become Company B, you really have to address the human anxiety in the room. Bjorn Ratti and Liza Adams both stress that AI adoption is not a technology challenge. It is fundamentally a culture challenge.
Oh, for sure. You cannot mandate transformation.
Exactly. It requires psychological safety. If your team is terrified that the tool you are training them on is going to replace their salary next quarter, they will actively resist it.
Or, even worse, they'll use these miraculous paradigm-shifting tools to execute the exact same legacy processes they were doing yesterday, just slightly faster.
Right. Leadership has to create an environment where it is genuinely safe to fail fast. You need cross-functional hackathons, peer-to-peer learning, and explicit guarantees that the goal is elevation, not elimination.
It's just a good reminder that at the end of the day, All this complex machinery is just a lever. The human is still the one deciding where to place the fulcrum.
That is a great way to put it.
Which actually leaves us with a final thought to mull over as we wrap up today. We started by exploring Gillian Hart's concept of B2A to B, business to AI to business.
Yeah.
Well, if the funnel is compressing and AI is becoming the gatekeeper for both sides, imagine the near future where your highly optimized outbound marketing algorithm is simply negotiating directly with your prospect's heavily guarded inbound procurement algorithm.
Oh, wow.
Right. If we reach a point of pure machine-to-machine transactions, what happens to the role of human brand memory? Like, how do you make an algorithm trust you? And more importantly, how do you make an algorithm actually feel something about your brand?
If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and social selling.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll catch you next time.